I'm Matthew McCabe. Welcome to Miracle Voices. Each episode, we will be delving into stories of forgiveness, healing, and transformation that have come about from integrating the principles of the book, A Course in Miracles. If you want to learn more about A Course in Miracles, visit www.acim.org. If you'd like to visit the Miracle Voices site, please go to www.miraclevoices.org. If you feel inspired to make a love offering, please visit us at miraclevoices.org/donate. All donations go to support the work of the Foundation for Inner Peace, the publisher of A Course in Miracles. Now here's your program. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Miracle Voices. This is your co-host, Matt McCabe, and I'm here with my co-host, Tam Morgan. Tam, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm dealing with identity fraud, which in course terms is really funny.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers there we could dissect if we really wanted to go into it.
It's fraud. Funny to like try and fight to get your identity back when you don't even want your identity there.
That sounds like a stand-up comedy bit. Take my identity. I don't want it.
Exactly. How much will you pay me for it?
Yeah. Take it.
Yeah. Anyway, good morning.
And besides our two identities, we also have Jose Lorenzo Rodriguez as our guest today. Jose, welcome.
Thank you, Max. Thank you for having me in the show.
Jose, where are you sitting today in the world?
I'm currently in Copenhagen, Denmark. I've been living here for 10 years, but originally I am from Venezuela.
Okay. And is it true that Denmark in general has the best candy in the world? Many say this is not your comfort food answer, but just tell us quickly if you agree with
that. How do you know? Did you ask him?
No. In addition to this, we're going to have a comfort food question.
That's one thing taking my identity. It's another taking away my knowing about a comfort food.
Yeah, so don't answer that or we might have a spasm.
I mean, there's a lot of candy to choose from. So, yeah, I guess like if you're a candy lover, there's plenty to be had.
Yeah, good. Well, Jose, why don't we start with how A Course in Miracles came into your life?
Okay, the first time I saw the book, I was 12 years old. It was in the backseat of my dad's car. I remember I saw the title and I imagined my dad wearing a robe and a chef performing miracles in the street. And I bursted laughing because I always thought my dad was like a weird guy. So it was uncharacter for him to be performing miracles on the street. Two years later, I had an experience. I was a really shy guy, like really, really shy, very introvert and kept to myself. And we went on vacation and I fell for a girl platonically. And we were in this like resort hotel for a week. And I would spend the entire week thinking how I would talk to this girl. Like, forming strategies and thinking what I would say, what she would say to me. And then days would pass and pass and pass. And then by the end of the week, it was her who talked to me. And I was shocked because it felt like it was so natural for her to just come and say hi to me and invite me. I remember she told me to let's play ping pong. And that was the last time I saw her. And it was broken into pieces because I felt that something had to change. I think that was my there's gotta be another way moment that many people say happened before the course. So I said to me, like, I need to change. Something needs to change. And shortly after, I started reading self-help books. And I would share my readings with my dad on the way to school. He was driving me to school and I would share what I was reading. He would be commenting on those things I was reading. And as I was finding more or weirder books, I think he got alarmed and said, like, I think I have another book that you would enjoy better than those that you're reading now. And then one day, I was 15 at the time, he gave me his copy of A Course in Miracles, which he didn't finish reading. And I remember opening the book for the first time. It was like, if you ever saw the movie, The Neverending Story, where Bastian opens the book and is amazed at what it may contain. I think I had the same reaction to it this time. I was not laughing, but I felt that was true in it as soon as I read the introduction. So that was the short version, I guess, of how I came to A Course in Miracles. Since I was 15, I've been reading it, practicing it, and also teaching it.
Great. And how would you say it's impacted your life since you picked it up?
Oh, wow. Okay. I think I had two lives. Now I've been alive for a longer time with A Course than without. So trying to remember who I was or how I was before the Course, sometimes it's difficult. But for example, as I said before, what brought me to the Course was this idea that I was shy, that I needed to change. And my shyness disappeared entirely. One funny thing is for work, they made me do like this personality test where you are classified if it's introvert or extrovert and so on. And for the first time in my life, I was classified as an extrovert, which it made me laugh because it was like, wow, what a journey. I started as the shyest guy in the room to being classified by a personality test as an extrovert. So that would be the first change, but I was also very impatient. I was also, in many ways, I've always considered myself smart, but I was using my smart to hurt people, like to put them down or to ridicule them. And that kind of behavior disappeared over time as a result of my practice with forgiveness. And also, like the main relationship that was strained back then when I was a teenager with my mom, it got healed entirely.
Yeah. Maybe that's a good time to get into that, your forgiveness story with your mom. Oh, go ahead, Tam.
Well, no, I just wanted to be clear that the switch from shy and your perceived introversion into then becoming an extrovert, did you find that it was because you were more comfortable in your own being through your practice of the Course or your knowledge that you were getting from the Course? Or was it just becoming more mature?
Both. Yeah, it's difficult to know, as you say, because also so many years of maturity has a role to play there.
Yeah.
But I think that something that many people take for granted is that personality, as we understand it, doesn't change too much after you are like close to adulthood. So I know many people who've been always an introvert and who are always an extrovert. Mm-hmm. But thinking back on your question, I can definitely say it's because I feel safe. I think that's the term. Yeah. I feel safe in the world. So I'm not afraid of getting in contact with others, helping others, offering my help, getting help, talking about my issues. I know that talking to others, expressing myself to others is part of the journey and can only benefit me and the other person. So I'm always on the lookout for this kind of interaction. So I think the Course had a major role to play there.
Thank you. Beautiful answer. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yes, Jose, please tell us about your forgiveness story.
All right. So I think one of my major forgiveness stories early on with the Course, as I said before, was with my mom. I'm going to paint a picture of my mom as I saw her back then. Please don't identify her with that story. I don't see her that way. But I want to just say the facts, so also sounds a bit shocking as I experienced it. and you can experience the transformation with me as I tell the story. My relationship with my mom was extremely bad. I remember having feelings of hate for her. Like I always felt so unfairly treated by her that I sincerely had feelings of hate towards her. I saw in her that she was easy to trigger. Like you could say anything and she would have anger. And in Venezuela, especially at the time, physical violence with kids was the norm. So I experienced a lot of that. So I would be afraid of my mom too, because whatever I could say could result in some physical violence. So of course, I thought she was aggressive. I thought she was emotionally distant. Like I could never tell her about my problems. She would never tell me about hers. So it was like a wall to me. Also, my mom and my dad were divorced since before I had memory. Like they separated when I was less than a year old. And my mom would also have this constant bickering with my dad and like remarks about him that were hurtful. And he would he would compare me with him in hurtful ways. So in my mind, she didn't love my dad. That's what I had in my mind. She was not spiritual. That was another grievance that I had. One funny story is that she once put my copy of A Course in Miracles in the garbage and didn't tell me. So I had to buy another one. And yeah, I think that's enough about my mom, how I perceived her. So when I started reading the Course and started practicing forgiveness, I had the opportunity to go live with my dad. So I moved with my dad, which gave me some space and time to dedicate myself to forgiveness without having the daily interaction with my mom. And a couple of years back, I would see my mom every now and then, but things happened and I had to move back with her. I was 17 at the time. And when I moved back with her, something miraculous happened. I can only describe it as the alien abducted her, brainwashed her, and put her back into her body. I came that day to my house, and she just gave me such a loving hug. She was calm. She was happy. And she was not easy to trigger. I have two stories of that day I came into my house again. The first one was, I was washing the dishes and I pushed the sink too hard down and it broke. And my mom came to the kitchen, saw the mess, and normally she would just be triggered by that kind of stuff. And she saw it and she said to me like, oh no, okay, well, tomorrow we can call the technician. And it was like, mom, is that you? So that same night, she asked me to park her car in the garage, and I didn't do it correctly, so it crashed all the left side of the car. So I went to my mom and said, mom, something else happened. I just ruined your car. She saw all the scratches and said to me, like, ah, never mind. We can take it to to the repair shop. And he was like, it cannot be. I thought it was because I just had moved back in, so she was kind of tame. But that just kept going. My mom was never the same as I remember her. So I said she was easy to trigger. I said also she was aggressive. She stopped hitting me, which didn't happen with my other two brother and sister. I remember at some point they noticed that she was not aggressive with me, and they independently asked me, what did you do? Why is mom treating you differently? And I had to explain them very shortly what forgiveness was, but I don't think they understood very well.
Were they younger?
And I also, yeah, all of them are younger. We all have like 5 years apart. So by the time the oldest, he was what, 13 or 14? I cannot remember. So I said she was emotionally distant. One of the things that happened right after I moved back was that she was going through a divorce, her second divorce. So one day she told me like, hey, can you come with me? And she drove me to a cafe and told me her life story and why she is divorcing. And in tears, just opened up for the first time in her life. She was opening up to me, which was quite moving. It was, wow, this is a new mom. And it made me understand her so well. Like, wow, everything that I thought about my mom was wrong, basically. Like, she had this rich internal world that I didn't know about. And I was just painting her in my mind as a wall. And that's not true. She's actually a very loving person. And one of those days, she opened up and told me the story of my dad and her and why they divorced. And the story that I had made in my mind was entirely wrong. Like, I always thought that they separated because they didn't love each other and they hated each other in a way. But that was not true. It was quite the opposite. It was circumstances in their life that kept them apart, but they did love each other a lot. And for me, there was a great feeling, like knowing that the story that I had made in my mind about why my parents separated was not true. There was love there, just I couldn't see it. And I also said she was not spiritual. This was perhaps one of the most important things for me that happened with my mom. This was after many years. I became at some point a teacher of the course. So I was very eager to share the course with people. And I would do workshops at my dad's place. And one of those days, I invited her to my workshop. And she was very happy to attend. And I did like three workshops. She attended the three of them. And I want to tell one of the most important, impactful moments that I had with her in those workshops. There is one like exercise that I usually do in the workshop, which is inspired by chapter 21, where it says, do not ask how you can see your brother without a body. Ask if you truly want to see him sinless. So I do this meditation with the eyes open, where we ask this question and we keep in mind an attitude of, I only want to see what is truly there. I don't want to see my past or anything. And 5 minutes into the exercise, we both started seeing light in each other. For me, it was fantastic, like having the opportunity to see my mom truly innocent without a body, with this shining, beautiful light. And when the exercise ended, it was very tough because, not being spiritual for most of her life, she had this profound spiritual experience that she couldn't explain, like where did that light come from? And for me, the symbol was that she could also see me without my past. One funny thing that about my mom too was that in public gatherings, in like family gatherings, she would have this thing about me that she would always say in public, no, Jose has always been a very difficult child. That was her thing. Like, she would always say that in every single family reunion. But suddenly, she started saying the opposite. Now, in every family reunion, she would say, Jose has always been such a loving child. And I, one of those days, I couldn't take it anymore. And I said, Mom, okay, stop it. Don't you remember that in every single family gathering, you would say that it was difficult? And she looked at me like I was crazy. Like, you, difficult? No, you've always been loving.
Oh my gosh.
So the final miracle that I wanted to tell about my mom, and it's also related to my dad, was that they didn't see each other for years and years and years after their divorce. But since they moved to Denmark 10 years ago, I had this idea that the past should not be repeated. So whenever I come back to my home country, I invite them both to the same family vacation. So we take trips together somewhere in the country. And it's been great seeing my mom and dad sharing in the same Christmas dinner and being at the same hotel and sharing the same vacation plan with me. It's like the past never happened. They're not together anymore. My dad has his wife now. But you can see there are no grievances.
That's great.
Well, I know this is going to sound like a stretch, but it's still what comes to mind is it's interesting that your path kind of began when, or as you told it, there was, you know, a woman you couldn't, a girl, young girl, you couldn't speak to or speak with. And then she spoke to you and then you played ping pong. And then you couldn't see her again. And it seems to me like such a beautiful metaphor for how, what happened with your mom. It was total ping pong, you know, as we say the expression, you know, you go from one thing then to the other side. And that this whole healing that you chose, you want to see it differently. You can't have this pain over a female presence in your life. Where then you embraced the course and then you did forgiveness and healing and everything switched around with your mom is it just feels like a beautiful story to me.
Yeah, I love the symbolism of ping pong. I think it's so true. And and I can also see it mirrored in like the big quest in my life has always been like the romantic relationship. And in a way also the quest to make peace with my mom. So I think you're exactly right in what you say,
Sam. Yeah, it's yeah, but it, you know, what always touches me in all of these stories is how spirit uses what's out there in our projections of people to also not spirit comes in to remove the divide. And, you know, to bring in parts of our own personality in order to bring about healing when there's willingness.
Yeah. Yeah, I also love how the Holy Spirit can use any symbol and make it meaningful to you so you can understand what healing is about and that you've been healed, basically.
Yes, exactly.
Mm. It's interesting that when you released the expectations of who your mom was and how she was going to reply to you. I think you mentioned this, people comply with your expectations, but sometimes it's like, you don't want to let go of those expectations because that's how you know them. It's like this weird pattern where even if you don't like their behavior, it's like, that's the box you have them in.
And it's your own comfort zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As opposed to comfort zone.
That's right. So,
yeah, I was saying that.
Go ahead, Jose.
Yeah, I was saying that that thing about boxing people with your judgment. We actually talked about that before we hit recording. Mm-hmm. But it's something that I've been exploring more and more. Like the judgments that I have towards other people are boxing them in their external circumstances. Like in a way, I am contributing to their experiences. And if I stop judging them and let them be as they actually are, as God created them, then this kind of magic happens. Like, okay, I've always seen you as this person, aggressive, easy to trigger, etc. But suddenly you are free to be someone new. I'm not forcing you to behave as you've always behaved with me.
Yeah. And I particularly am touched by the way that you explained that you were going to take us through your previous judgments of your mother, but they are no longer present, so don't get attached to that. And I think that that brings out the power of words that we use are very, very strong. And so to be able to make a caveat and say, okay, I'm going to tell you a little story. Don't get attached to it. Is really a kindness because we create stories all the time and we speak so liberally and easily behind people's backs about a judgment that we have for them or about them. And it really does still put it out there and resonate in some way for them because we all are indeed one. And so to really clean up how we speak about people and how we tell our stories about people makes a difference to not only them on the outside and what resonates towards them about a collective conception and perception of someone, but also for our healing on the inside. So it was very evident that you had done your work by the way you were describing your mom in the very beginning.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's funny because I just remembered, I said before that I had feelings of hate towards her. An image always comes to my mind when I say this. I remember sitting on some stairs. I was 7 years old and I was crying out of rage. And I said, like, I hate you. So I had that image and I remember crying and crying a lot. And I always had that image in which, for some reason, I never understood. I calmed myself and I felt peace. And I always wondered why. And it was funny that some years ago, I revisited that memory and I did this exercise with myself where I hugged myself and he just said to me, you are the son of God. There's nothing to hate. You're just like confused. And something clicked inside of me. Oh, wait, was it me who came back to the past and calmed myself? Is that why I stopped crying? Mm-hmm. So I think this relates to what you said in that if we hold on to an image of, this is how it has always been with my mom. And you come back to that and you tell the story again. I think it's very easy to bring the same grievances back. But if you remind yourself that it was just a story, just an illusion, just something that was in your mind, then suddenly the tantrum stops.
And your siblings, how did they end up growing up with your mom? I mean, did they get a clue from you of how to shift? You said they didn't really understand when you talked about forgiveness, and I can completely understand how they might not, it just being kind of landed on them, but they did see a difference. And were they able to embrace that in any way? Was your mom behaving in a perceived way that she had with you, with them, and you were, just an exception now? Or was she not that great with younger kids, but better with older kids? What was that experience?
Unfortunately for them and for my mom, that continues. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like the appointed peacemaker right now in the family. Every time, and this is cyclical, they would get into some trouble. They would call me and try to mediate or help them forgive. With my sister, it has been a bit easier. She has forgiven many things about my mom, but she she doesn't have the discipline. Like, she's not a student of the course. And I think without the discipline of watching your mind, it's easy to come back to the grievances.
Yeah.
So and when she applies forgiveness, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay. So when she applied forgiveness, she has seen many of the things that I have told you, like, wow, my mom is different now. But as soon as she brings the grievances back, then she can see the story. Actually, as of today, they're again in one of those cycles of attack.
And
so I'm not sure it is about her being better with older kids. Mm-hmm. I think it's literally forgiveness.
Got it. No, that's, I've wondered. Thank you for answering that. Also, have you had direct conversations with your mom about her perceived behavior with your siblings?
Yeah, but my mom is not easy to take hints or to take advice. Mm-hmm. It's in very rare occasions that I've been able to help her forgive something in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I can give her tips. For example, I taught her like some sort of meditation to how to enter the holy instant. Mm-hmm. And she uses that when she enters. She says that it helped her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to relationships, like, she is still, unfortunately, very easy to hold on to the grievances and not take a hint that maybe it is the way you see what's wrong here. I have trust in her that she will eventually see it. But for now, I think she's taking a slower path.
It doesn't even matter, really. I was just curious. I think it's extraordinary what you've shown in the power of individual forgiveness in one's life. And that just makes it even more clear. And you don't have to teach her through any words except continuing your own experience. And I think it comes down to quite often that little willingness. At some point, she might prefer peace instead of conflict. And that's up to her and her path. But you showing continuously is, you know, the best way to do it.
Yeah. And I think I've also been able to improve certain aspects of, like, the family dynamics. I wish everyone there, like my two brothers and sister, they would have the same experience of her that I have. I think that would be wonderful. But I mean, we all have free will, so I need to also honor that.
Yeah.
Well, Jose, when you get into an ego storm and it just feels like you've kind of lost your serenity and you're kind of feeling lost at sea and everything seems crazy and emotions feel really frayed, how do you get centered again?
Okay. I was expecting this question, so I need to give two answers, because I'm fortunate that it's been a long while I don't have one of those storms where it feels like a storm, like I cannot control it. So I'm going to tell the quick way, which is the one I'm using now, and also what I used to do when the storms were more of the norm. The quick thing I do is vigilance. I am constantly monitoring how I feel, especially in the body. Like, if I feel that I'm stressed or tired or even sick, I have this question that I ask myself and help me immediately. The question is, who did I attack recently? Because I know that any sensation of guilt or fear is the direct consequence of an attack or judgment. So as soon as I ask the question, I like trace my mind back to like the last few hours until I pinpoint, okay, I had this judgment about this person, or I was unkind to this other person. So in my mind, I just close my eyes and I ask the person for forgiveness. I say to the person, I'm sorry, I didn't see you as the Son of God. I want to see you as you really are, so we can both have peace. And that usually brings me back to peace. And
like that.
yeah, it really worked. But I think it's based on what the course said, that you really have to be honest about what you're doing. It's not by chance that you are feeling the way you're feeling. It's a direct consequence of something you just said.
Yeah.
And when I was more into this form, I would not read immediately. That was the problem, I think. I would wait, for example. I would say, well, when I get back home, I will sit on my couch and I will meditate on this. And then things happened in life. I was not sitting on the couch. And they said, but when I could sit on the couch, which wasn't like my safe space, I would again close my eyes, try to not think of anything, try to quiet my mind. And then I would allow myself to feel the emotion that I was basically escaping from with my thoughts. So if it was anger, for instance, usually anger, I feel it in my, like in my jaw. So I had this exercise in which I would allow myself to feel that anger in my jaw as much as I could until I could say with honesty, is this what I want to feel or do I want peace? And if honestly the answer was peace, I would ask the Holy Spirit basically the same question. Holy Spirit, take me back to the moment I accept or judge. And pretty much immediately, I would get an image of what happened. And I would do a version of the exercise in lesson 121, in which you, and 78, sorry, 78 and 121, in which you list the grievances about the other person, like, I didn't like when you did this, I don't like your nose, I don't like the way you speak. And then you would overlook all of that and try to find some light in the person. So as soon as I saw the light in the person, I would immediately feel in peace. So that would be my go-to exercise when there was a really, really big storm. But nowadays, I try to not delay it. So it's a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Those are very helpful and practical. Well, Jose, we've come to the point where we ask about your comfort food. I'm curious to hear if it's something from Denmark or Venezuela or somewhere else. So please tell us.
No, that would be from Venezuela. There's our national dish. It's called arepa, mm-hmm. which looks like a pita bread, if you know what a pita bread is, but it's made out of corn. So mm-hmm. you open the bread and you put inside usually cheese. That would be my comfort food, like white bread, fresh cheese. And it tastes kind of like sweet-ish on the outside and salty on the inside. And it's perfect for any occasion. It can be breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
That sounds good. Arepa.
Dessert? Is it okay for dessert?
I mean, there are people who put sweet stuff on it. So, yeah. And it's not my my thing. I really like the combination of kind of sweet with salty.
Interesting. I haven't seen it. I'm gonna have to see what an image of that looks like. It looks like it's like a corn-based pizza.
Pizza bread, not pizza, because pizza. You don't put it
pizza
on
bread.
Top.
Bread.
You put it,
pizza bread.
Yeah.
A pizza bread. Yeah.
Okay. Very, very nice. Well, Jose, you mentioned that you're a teacher yourself. Is there any place where we can point listeners if they want to connect with you online?
I don't promote myself. I've been always been lazy to create social media stuff. But if you're really eager to get in contact with me, you can try my Instagram account. It's Lorenzo underscore AEKO. Or try to look for my name in Facebook. You can just friend me if you like. I'm always eager to chat with whoever. But I'm not holding any regular workshops or anything.
Okay. Great. Well, Jose, thanks so much for coming on Miracle Voices and sharing your miracle voice. I know you're glad it's spring in Denmark, and I'm glad for you. And we hope we can chat with you again soon. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening today. Please subscribe to Miracle Voices by hitting the subscribe button on your podcast app. If you are enjoying these conversations, please consider leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever podcast app you use. And lastly, please visit us at miraclevoices.org and join our newsletter so we can stay connected. Until the next podcast, I want to leave you with my favorite course quote, "When you want only love, you will see nothing else."